Good morning. It's only right to start the morning and thank you for being here and welcoming you to church in Indy Church this morning. I didn't know how full it would be because a good part of our church is at the women's prison this morning, and we've been prayerful for them this morning and the women that they'll serve and the gifts that they'll give. Thanks for giving towards that this morning. So on the pulpit with me, my brother-in-law, Brother Jeff Neihauser from Morton, is going to preach this morning. Be prayerful for him, for the Word of God. And then visiting, we're so privileged to have Brother Mike Grimm from Goodfield here and his wife Amber. And then Brother Tim Wiegand grew up in Goodfield, but now from Leo and his wife Krista are here. So Brother Tim will finish up and Brother Mike will preach this afternoon. We look forward to that. So thanks for being with us. Let's really be expected to hear the Word of God this morning.
Well, good morning. I want to greet each one of you also in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that makes it possible that we can come and be united around the Word. And there's many things as we walk into the Indianapolis church that look familiar. There's many things that are different, especially over the years as we have come. And we walked in and my daughter said, "Do you know who that young man is over there?" And I was like, "That's Brother Kevin's son." I'm like, "My goodness, he's changed." Thankful for Christmas cards that we can kind of keep track over the years. But the one thing that is the same is this Bible that's right in front of us. No matter what our age, where we're at, the things that are changing in our life. I know Brother Mike and his family going through a big change, but I think we probably all are in one way or another. But the one thing we can rely on, all of us, is the Word of God. And that is why we're here. And that last song, "Count Your Many Blessings," it didn't say count your blessing. It said count your many blessings. And it's one of the things as we come through Thanksgiving time, what are we thankful for? A brother in the Morton Church, many times when you greet him, he says, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm thankful for what I have, and I'm thankful for what I don't." And many times our blessings, we think only the things materially that we have, but God has spared us all so many things. And let's be thankful this morning. Let's turn to the Word. It was interesting overnight with very few hotel rooms available. Brother Ken and Sue's dad or father-in-law, we were able to stay out at the fort, which was unique. One of the things I thought of this morning, I know we've got a lot of our children here with us here this morning, was at one time I'm sure that was quite the military facility. It's kind of more of a pleasure place today. But I thought about that as, you know, in this life, spiritually, we are in a battleground. And sometimes as our flesh, we want to make life into a playground. We want to make it all fun and games and enjoyment and how comfortable can I be? And yet, like that place we woke up this morning, as I looked around the house and the facility, and then we come into church, it's a reminder that we are in a battleground. A battleground of the soul, and the Word of God wants to give us our plans, our mission, our direction, our confidence that we have the victory. Sometimes we go through life and we can be feel defeated, and yet we're in a battle that's already been won, and we have to be able to claim that victory, and it's only through Jesus Christ. And so let's read the Word together. I've opened up here to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You may wonder why would you select this, and so I hope you don't mind if picked a few scriptures here for this morning. And some of you that are in school, maybe college or maybe high school, I don't know if they do that much in others, but it's getting close to finals time. Our daughter's got a couple tests coming up tomorrow. She's been studying this whole weekend, and I just began to wonder, as we wrap up this year, we're in December. Many times in business, we do kind of year-end reviews. We do summaries. How's your year gone for you? If you were going to take a final this afternoon, on your spiritual progress, how would you do? For some of us, we can't remember what last Sunday was like. What did I learn this last week? We kind of go through kind of a spiritual day by day instead of an accumulation, that God's working us to a place like He did. And the whole most of the Old Testament is about the children of Israel and their lessons that they learned. And for you and I to read that, that's why we do it in our church, we read the Old Testament, so we can see those lessons that God was using in His children, those that He wanted close to Him, those that were special, and yet they worked through various tests and trials and difficulties, that we can learn from those as well. So we don't have to make all the mistakes, we can learn from others. So here in chapter 8, and Deuteronomy is a, it's also, there's another phrase you could use for, if you go to the very beginning of Deuteronomy in chapter 1, it says, "These be the words which Moses spake." The book of Deuteronomy is also known as the words of Moses. Our country, if we look at our laws and our nation, some of you, it's hard to remember, you probably don't even have a recollection of that. But our nation was founded on biblical truth. The laws that were put into our nation for all these hundreds of years that we've enjoyed, and much of Deuteronomy was the scriptures that those men understood deeply of God's direction. The words which Moses gave to his children, the children of Israel, which came from God, were debated and discussed, and that's what's become a part of our nation. But let's read this chapter here together, chapter 8, and here's what it says. Read from verse 1. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Now I would encourage you to go back and read the first few chapters. Chapter 4, of course, and chapter 6. Many of these are about not only worshiping God, but how to live, how to raise a family, how to walk as a man or a woman in this life and before God. Many great commandments and teachings. But he says here, he said the chapter begins with a pretty important word. It didn't say some. It didn't say whatever you like, whatever fits your personality style, whatever your how you like to live life. He says this. It's a very simple word for our young children that are here, for the older adults, young age. It says this: all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. That what? He says that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. They were about ready to go in and take over the land of Canaan. Remember what was in Canaan? Was it a desert? Was it a prairie land? No, it was amazing. We'll read about it. So let's read on. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no." It's a right or a left. It's black or white. It's not all the shades of the rainbow. It was black or white. He says He was to prove you and humble you for you to understand and to know, will you keep His commandments or no? "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Can you imagine getting your food every day, just what you needed for that day? I mean, we've been together as a family, and you can't you maybe can imagine how much food has been available and consumed in the last few hours at their house. It's amazing. Every time you look around, there's just more food. But can you imagine if every day you woke up and said, "I have to trust God to feed our family today. Because what you had from yesterday, it's not here today, except on the weekends." And that's what He was trying to teach them, complete trust in Him. "That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Not only was He going to provide their food every day, the manna, they'd have to go out and gather it, but He wanted them to learn faith. Yes, faith to feed yourself. Faith to be able to trust that God will provide. And the word manna, the translation is in the phrase, a phrase that we would say is a "what is it?" That's kind of what that word manna, because they would, when they first saw it, they were, what is it? When you show up at the dinner table, it's not a good thing to say to the cook or to your wife or to your mother, what is it? But as he taught them to say, manna is to feed you, that food is now also, that belief and that now is going to be transferred to, Lord, you will take care of my every day, my every need. He wanted them to learn their faith, to believe in Him. And then it says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Can you imagine having to shop for new shoes or clothing for 40 years? Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him, to respect Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Here's where He's going to take them. And here's where He's taking us. He wants to bring us, as it says in the Gospels about Jesus said, that your joy may be full. He wants us to give us the blessing. But He's going to try us. He's going to test us. He says, for the Lord thy God, in verse 7, bringeth thee into a good land. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. They went from manna to this. That's what God wants with our faith. He has so much to give us when we trust in Him. That first word in this scripture that we read, when we trust in all of Him with all of our heart. Then He says this. Here's now, we're never going to transition. He says, beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Now you would think if someone, as a nation, they went from in the wilderness, their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell up, they were fed every day, God provided. He provided the food, He provided the water, He led them, He taught them, He instructed them, and then He gives them all of that. You would think they would just be rejoicing every day. But how many of us have the same human nature? Here's what it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments, which His judgments, His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. One of the blessings about being together as a family is we tell stories. And some of the younger ones, they probably get a little tired of it. But I hope they don't ever, because one day they'll be telling stories. And part of it is here that we remember, that we reflect. Part of the testing at the end of a semester is to reflect. What have you learned? What have you retained? What will you take forward as you go into your career, into your job, or whatever you're going to do, to the next grade or to the next responsibility? Here he's saying, lest you forget. Verse 15, let's read that again. Then thy heart be lifted up in verse 14, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the wealth and my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. You see how the pride of self can come up, how the pride of our own performance. It says in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, His promise for you, for all of us, for all mankind. He says that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be if thou do all, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So as he ends there, he says, here's the consequences that could come. It goes back and he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, all the commandments I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do. Why? That ye may live and multiply, go in, possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Then in verse 19, but if thou shalt forget, you'll perish like these other nations. They did, and he did. They went away from worshiping him and trusting him, and he did. They were destroyed, and those nations were no more. So it's a warning and an opportunity for all of us as we think about where are we with God. As we look back over the year of 2017, where has he taken us? Where will he take us ahead? Are we thankful and are we following his teachings? Let's sing together out of the Zion's Harp, hymn number 100. Sing of this as you would choose, the Supreme Sacrifice. That can, let's kneel together and let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we want to collectively come before Thee. We want to worship Thee in this morning, Father. We're going to lift up thy high, thy holy name. We read about the children of Israel and Moses as he was giving them instructions. We take these instructions today, even for ourselves, that we would follow thee, Father. Follow thy word and thy truths and thy teachings to be a light for thee, Father, to yield our lives unto thee and not to be self-sufficient. And yet the pride of man can just come over us in such seemingly simple ways, and it's kind of like weeds in a garden, they can just take over. And so, Lord, help us to continue to prune and to be pruned and to be in thy word and to be continually studying, refining, and to be accountable one to another. Bless this church here in Indianapolis as they fellowship and as they walk together and serve together and live and trust in thee together, Lord. Bless them, each one, from the youngest to the oldest. Brother Ken, as he leads and shepherds the flock here, and all those that minister and serve in the Sunday school, and the trustees and the ushers and the song service and in the pews, and as they minister together, Lord, here in this community, in this city, bless their lives and their efforts, Lord, to be a light for thee, to touch hearts that could come and know that there is a way out of the ways of the world and the ways of sin, and out of the darkness, Lord, and come into the light. Lord God, we just thank thee for thy truth that is enduring. As life goes on and our situations and circumstances may change, we just so appreciate, Father, that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thy word is available to all of us, generation to generation, to guide us to thee, Father, through the cross, through Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, that has walked before us and then has died for all of us, has went into the grave with sin but could not be contained there, and has risen again for all of us to have hope, to have redemption. And so, Lord, bless us now in this day. We just thank you for thy word and for thy truth. We know there's many cares, concerns, or those in hospitals or those this morning that went to the prisons to touch hearts and lives that are in great need of freedom spiritually, Lord. Of course, they would like to be free physically, but most importantly, there can be freedom in the soul and in the heart. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your love. Pray for those that are in a time of celebration in this life, Lord, and bless them with great hope and encouragement, but yet also, Lord, not self-sufficiency as we just read about. So help us always to be humble, be thankful, to trust in thee, and let thee be our guide every day. And in all things that we do, Lord, there's much we could pray for. We lift up our nation, our leaders, our Congress, those that are in the military, Lord, or away from homes and family. The missionaries, Lord, that go out into the front lines battling for lives, Lord, that could come to know Jesus Christ. Bless them, Lord, and encourage and strengthen them all. So in this day, Lord, be in our midst here in this congregation. Bless each one from the front to the back, that their hearts could be touched and drawn closer to thee, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. Chapter 4. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had just come out of the baptism in chapter 3. And now he's going to be tested. Talked for a few minutes there earlier about, you know, the finals and being tested. How many of you like quizzes, pop quizzes? You show up and the teacher says, put away your books, keep out a pencil. What about tests? I remember about 30 years ago now, it's probably about 30 years ago, I got some advice that I didn't forget. You ever gotten advice like that just sticks with you? Advice you maybe really appreciated and it gave you a good, clear direction in life, or maybe some advice that just really set you back. It was probably about 30 years ago. Sue and I were going through a very difficult decision-making time. This brother right here gave me some advice, and I still haven't forgotten it. I didn't like it at the time. I was hoping for some encouragement. It was a real difficult time. We were wrestling, and what do? Do we move? Do we not? It was a major life intersection. I remember Brother Ken said, "Oh, this is such a good time for you." I didn't like it. I wanted an answer. And now I realize sitting down with, whether it's couples or individuals, is a counsel with them, and I see him just wrestling. I had a young brother sitting in front of me a while back. He said, "Oh," and he was just wrestling. And I said, "Well, how are you doing spiritually?" "Oh, I'm so close to God in the Word," because he was wrestling. And that's what Brother Ken had shared with us. He said, "Oh, this is such a good time for you. You're going to be so close to the Lord. You're going to be on your knees," because we were in such a need. Our hands were out saying, "Lord, we don't know which way to go." Still remember that advice. I couldn't imagine saying, "Oh, this is a good time for you." How would you ever tell someone that? But it's in those times when we're being tested and we're being challenged that the Lord says, "Oh, you can't do it alone. You need me." And that's where He wants us to come every day. Not to become self-sufficient. But yet in this life, what do we try to do? Especially as men and our families, what do we try to be? Very self-sufficient. We want to take care of things. We want to make sure our feet are on solid ground. And then when things start getting shaky, say, "Oh no, what do? We want to put our confidence in the Lord always. Not just when it's shaky. And I know there's times that the cycles that the children of Israel went through. As you read different places where they just kind of recap their historical experiences. Oh, they were close to the Lord. Oh, and then they kind of got self-sufficient and they fell away. And then here they came back again. I think what the Lord wants to work us to a place where we are always, no matter how life is going, we are always dependent on Him. That's what those trials and those tests come for. Not for our hurt, but for our good. So let's read here about Jesus. He also went through some tests. Can you imagine this? And many times after a baptism, it's kind of one of those spiritual high moments, one of those spiritual experiences where we're just enjoying the being close to the Lord and the fellowship. And then we go out on Monday. What I always try to warn our new converts as they get baptized, beware of Monday. Beware when you go back to work or school and you go home and all of a sudden the Satan, he's waiting for you to make that last turn into the parking lot and there he is. You're like, "Where's this?" Satan is patient. Some of you maybe that live here in the city don't, maybe you do some of this, but growing up out in the country, I never did it. I couldn't get up that early, but some of my friends would set traps. They'd get up early in the morning. I was like, "Why in the world did you do that?" "I go set all my traps." Man, they were trapping for muskrats or mink. I don't know what they were doing. I never did it. But they would go out early and then they'd go check those traps. They put those traps out in the fall, way before trapping season, but they wouldn't set them. They just put them there. So those animals would get comfortable running around, going through their normal routines and running right by the traps. And then one day they'd come out and set them. There goes that animal. He was familiar and comfortable. Got caught. And that's how Satan can be. He likes to set traps way out ahead of us. How do we see him? Staying in the Word. By staying accountable. By staying close to the Lord. Day by day. So here it is in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus came out from being baptized, and where did he go? It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered." Now think about that for a minute. When you are really hungry, how do you feel? You have one thing in mind. I know I am. I'm not very good when I'm hungry. It's just, okay, I got one thing I got to take care of. So here is our Lord. He has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was with the Spirit, and he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If," He starts with an if. He starts to create doubt. Satan comes, he starts to want to get us off of our focus. And so he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, how many of us would look at a stone and say, "Well, that looks appetizing"? Well, he said to Jesus, first he set him up. He said, "If thou be the Son of God." How many of us get put in a position where we have a doubt or we have a question asked to us? I got a young brother that I spend a fair amount of time mentoring with. He's got a teacher at school. It's in one of the philosophy, I'm not sure which class he's in. But the teacher has a very good way of asking doubting questions. And he tries to push the class to the extremes. So then you come back with an answer. And there's a couple of believers in the class. And he knows who they are. And he loves to ask a question that you can't just give a solid. But it wants to push him. "Well, if this, then what about that? How would you handle?" And this guy, this brother on his toes. Now he's pretty sharp and he's deep in the scripture. But how about you and I on a day-to-day basis when we get asked the question, "Why do you do this or do that?" Here Jesus Christ was said, "If thou be the Son of God." Well, that's not an if. It's an is. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, you've got a need. Take care of it. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He knew that Jesus was hungry. He knew that he had a physical need. And he was trying to get him in a position where he was going to take care of his own needs. And now how many of us would think, "Well, that's not a bad thing." But Jesus was not ever about using his power to make himself look good. Or using his power as like what we would say is like a magic show. Remember when he was, before one of the governors, I can't remember if it was Pilate or one of them was there, he was hoping to see a miracle. Or maybe it was with, I can't remember which. But sometimes we want to say, "Just Lord, give me a sign." And in those days, they would take, the reason Jesus was saying, now this isn't uncommon. It's not, people won't even hardly notice. It'll kind of be subtle. Just take care of your own needs. They would take their bread and they would put it into cakes. And then they would go sit it out into the desert on the stones that were hot. And the bread would rise and it would bake out in the hot sun. So the bread that was out in the by the rock, sometimes maybe you would look at it, you couldn't tell the difference between the bread or the rock. I believe it's later on... when they ask the question, if your son would ask you a fish, would you give him a serpent? If he asked a bread, would you give him a stone? That's what they understood that out there in the rocks, there was bread. So if he said, "If thou be the Son of God, just turn, command that these stones be made bread." Jesus said, but he answered and said, "It is written." Remember what he said back here in the words, being the commandments? Those are the ones he read right there in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. It says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He's saying, "Oh, I may take care of my physical need. I may take care of my hunger, but that's not what's going to satisfy me. And that doesn't prove that I am the Son of God just because I can do a miracle." He said, it's about every word of God. When we say every word of God, what's that mean? It's the attributes of God. When we say we praise His name, what are we praising? Not just a name of God or Jehovah. It's the attributes. This is who I worship. He is all glorious, giving, loving, kind, generous, truthful, judgment. It's all of that. He said, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All of His teachings, all of His truths, all of who He is, that's who we worship. And when we become redeemed, we get to take on His Spirit. And His Spirit says, I'm going to change you to be who you aren't, but who you can be. And the Holy Spirit, who is a part of Almighty God, expressed through the Spirit, wants to be in your life, bringing out those same attributes. We talk about those as love and joy and peace and goodness. And not just one, but all of that. So he says here, man shall not live by bread alone. but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, or into the holy city, this is Jerusalem, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. If you know where the temple sits in Jerusalem, it was up high on a hill, and there's a few valleys there that came up below some of the walls, and so that there was probably a 30-foot wall, and probably a 30-foot or 60-foot precipice there. So it was an extremely high pinnacle of where he was at. And so he says, he set them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, again, if a doubt, a question, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He also, at that time, there was a thought that Jesus was going to descend and make his way known to his people in the temple, or in the temple grounds. It's a huge area. Sometimes we think of the temple as like the Holy of Holies, where they came in to do their sacrifice. But there was a huge temple grounds of where there was a place for the Gentiles, and they had a gate they couldn't come into. Then the Jews could come in. Then the place the women couldn't go further, and then the men could. Then they would do the sacrifices. So there's this huge temple area, and he's up there, and he's like, just cast thyself down. You can put on a show. You can let others know. And part of it was to fulfill the needs of the people, or the interests of the people, that Jesus was going to, or the Messiah would come and land there in the temple. He says, you're not going to get hurt. And he understood that this is kind of what the people are looking for. And he says to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So many times in our own life, we want to do it our way. And the devil wants to come along and say, here, you can do this. It's for the good. But like rat poison, there's a lot of good in rat poison. It's good food for the rat. But there's a little bit of poison. And that's sometimes how the devil wants to come to us and say, oh, there's good in this. And it's like, no. Not by the word of God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Did you notice that every time when Jesus was facing the devil, what did he say? It is written. He went back to the scripture. He went back to the word of God. He went back to the truth. And he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What was the devil tempting him with there? He was tempting him to take a shortcut. How many of us have been tempted? You know, maybe I can pass this test, but I don't need to study. Or maybe I can get from here to there. My GPS says I need to take this route, but I think I know the right way. How many of us have done that? And I do it many times. I think I know a better way. My wife says to me many times, you always think you know the best way. And she's usually right that I usually think that and end up getting myself in trouble. And here he was saying to Jesus, you know, you need to get all the people to worship you. I'll give them all to you. Right now. Just worship me. Shortcut. And what did Jesus say? Get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There's no other gods before me, is what he's saying to Satan. I'm going to worship my Father in heaven. His Father, who they were all part of one. Expressed through the Son. Expressed through the Holy Spirit. Expressed as the Father. One. There's not going to be anybody else in the middle. How many other gods do we have? I was with a young brother this week as we were visiting, and he said I had to challenge his younger brother. His younger brother is a believer also, and he likes to play video games. And he said, I had to go out for a little walk with him. And I asked him, I said, so what's the most important thing in your life? He said, oh, God is. And he says to his brother, he said, boy, you answered that pretty fast. He said, so let me ask you this. So who should be the most important in your life? Well, God should be. He says, so that's good. So when you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed at night and you're laying in bed and thinking, boy, I'd like to be doing something. What are you thinking about? I'm thinking about playing a video game. And you wake up in the morning, you have a little free time. I said, what are you thinking about? I'm about playing my video game. This boy's about 12, 14 years old or so. He said, so what is the most important thing to you right now? He kind of hung his head and he said, and it's probably not God. And that was convicting to me as I sat there and listened to him tell the story. I said, you know, I know that probably, I could probably put something else in there besides a video game. How many of us would say, yeah, you young man, shame on you. But how many of us put something else in there? When you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, what are we thankful for? Are we in the Word? And are we saying, thank you, Lord? And when we're counting all of our blessings, who do we know that they come from? They didn't come from my self-sufficiency. They came because God has provided a way and a path. Whether it's a difficult part of our journey or it's a glorious top of the mountain. Here Jesus said to him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And I love the next verse. Because what we see here is Jesus Christ committed to His mission, committed to His purpose, committed to serving the Father, committed not to be deviated from His own personal needs, not to be deviated to do it for a show, not to be deviated to take a shortcut, to be willing to go to the cross, to be willing to teach, to be willing to take on sin and go into a grave. Your sin and my sin that went on Jesus Christ. And when we go into death, when we go into a grave with sin, death has victory and we cannot come out. But He went into death and He went in there into the grave with your sin and mine, but not His own. And the grave had no victory. And He who came out rose again. He was willing to do all of that. He saw that all ahead of Him for you and me. He wants to give us heaven. And He wants to give us joy in this life, regardless of circumstances and the journey. He wants to do that. And He says then in verse 11, when we have a commitment of faith, belief, we walk together, we put off self, we put off our own self-sufficiency, and that means faith, to believe in Jesus Christ, all of us, and all the way. Then verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Isn't that a special verse? The devil has to flee the presence of truth and righteousness. Cannot be in the presence of Almighty God for sure. Here the devil leaveth him. I was going to finish just a few more verses. I want to get to just a couple more. He says this, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which, this is you and I, this is our country, this is the world, this is back then, it's still the same mankind today. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. That light that was available then is available today. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, the words that He said then apply today, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know in our Sunday school, I remember growing up, they always talked about the R word, the word repent. But I want to encourage you all to never lose sight of that word. It's Jesus Christ as He began His ministry to go out, and He goes on then and He starts to call His disciples to be fishers of men, to change people's occupations from fishing for fish to fishing for men, to change the world from that point on, that there was now a way of redemption. not through the law, but through faith. But it starts with that word of, before we can rejoice, we must repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn. It means to turn away from the devil and the temptations that he's going to bring, and to turn to God and pursue Him. As it said there in Deuteronomy, all the commandments, that we follow all of His teachings. We embrace all the attributes of God. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand there by the seashore. It's at hand today. That you and I can go out and be a light in the world. We can be a light to those that are in need, that don't know truth. Our daughter's here from Mexico. We were just down there a week ago and I was visiting with one of the brothers down there. And we live in a little different culture than they do. But it's not that much different, because mankind is mankind. But one thing he said to me down there, he was... He does a lot of work in the local area in the business, and the drug cartels got a lot of influence down there. And so who can you trust, or who? And he's got a pretty good sense of it all. But he said there was, of all the people that you and I work with, I mean, as we go up and down these roads, we could probably give our wallets to any of these brothers and our phones and anything else we have. And you can move into my house and we have guests come over. We don't even know them. We greet them. We love them. We come stay at our homes. And that's kind of our upbringing for many of us. There's a trust and a appreciation with each other. He said down there in that part of the, in many countries, but there he said only about 5% of the people that I know, you have that kind of a trust relationship. For me, it's kind of like about 5% of people that I know that I don't have that. What a difference it is about trust. And as someone said to him, it made a huge impact, his walk, because they said, you're different. You care about me just because you care about me. You don't have anything to gain from it. What a light he's shining there. All of them in Magdalena. So many of you have been there. But what about right here in your community? When they see you and they say, you're different. Your light shines. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand in your life. When Sue and I think Carissa was with us, we were out in Spokane. I used to work for a short time with some individuals. They had a Jewish background. They didn't even understand they didn't understand any of this Jewish heritage. He knew of it, but had no understanding of it, never went to church. So before our meals would come out, I'd pause for a moment. I'd have a prayer and start eating our hamburgers. And he looked at me once, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I know, but what are you doing? He saw me. He watched what I did, and he was a pretty bold guy. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm praying. He said, I know, but what? I want to hear what are you saying? I was having silent prayers. I wasn't saying them out loud. He wanted to hear. I remember one of the first times I had a prayer out loud with him. And I think Sue and Kristen may have been with me at that one. And I said something about, I can't remember the phrase, but something about, and save us, you know, in this world of darkness. And he says, what do you mean, world of darkness? What are you talking about? He was living in a life that was normal. He didn't know there was a difference. And from that time on, whenever we had a meal together, and it was many, he said, whoa. And whenever he'd be off doing, maybe go to the restroom and our food would come and I'd have my prayer and he'd come back and say, you didn't wait? He wanted me to have a prayer. But we'd have a group of 5, 6 of us, all of our food would come. He'd say, wait a minute, he's going to have a prayer. From that time on, and I'm not lifting myself up, I'm just saying that there's a light that is needed to shine in the world. Let your light shine. It says here, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was there. The world began to change from this point. The power of the gospel message was coming forth through fishermen. It changed the disciples. For you and I to be able to embrace the gospel message and have lives that are changed, let's not think that it's for someone else. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand in your life, in your home, in your school, with those that you meet. That we follow all His commandments, that He gives us the bread of life. Not the self-sufficiency or pride. But we trust in Almighty God to carry us through this life, making a difference one by one, that people may know that Jesus is our Lord.
I'm thankful for the word and Jeff's sharing of it this morning. I love he started in Deuteronomy, and that's it's fast becoming one of my favorite books of the Bible. Not because it's always easy to read or even we understand what Jesus did with the law and how we've been set free from that, but I kind of picture what was spoken in Deuteronomy a little bit like what's happening today. Like, and I love the fact that there's families here gathered and there's kids and there's some wrestling and things like that going on. All of that is good, because that was probably happening when Moses was, I don't know, writing or speaking the words in Deuteronomy. It was the second time the law had been given. The first time had been at Sinai. And the people who were hearing the law at the time that it was spoken in Deuteronomy were at least 20 years old or younger when their parents were too afraid to go into the promised land, and so they were sent back out into the wilderness for 40 years. And so the adults that were hearing the words of Deuteronomy probably had kids grabbing onto their legs and were saying, "Is Moses done yet?" And they're like, "Quiet down. I had the same thought at Sinai." And they're telling their kids, this is God's revelation. And our parents before this, all they had were promises that were 400 years old and that had probably been forgotten or not believed. And they were slaves. And I grew up in the wilderness, and now we're about to enter the promised land. And just like Jeff said, we pass this on from generation to generation. We hear the words of the Lord and we feed on it. Jesus said that. We don't live by bread alone. We feed on the word of God and we pass it on. We pass it on to our children and they pass it on to their children. But then, just as Jeff shared at the very end, we pass it on to those all around us. It's not just our kids that we care about. It's not just the people in this room, our church family, that we care about. We want to invite people in and say, there is a feast here. There's family here. There's love and there's mercy and there's grace and all of the good things that God wants to give. And we feed on it together. And we've done that this morning, and we look forward to fellowship and doing it again after lunch. It's a wonderful time. I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful for Jeff sharing the word, and I trust it's been a blessing for all of us. Maybe someone would have a hymn that we could close the service with.
Thanks for singing. Brother Merlin, would you close the morning in prayer? Remember the food, too, in the prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, would even humbly even bow unto Thee in prayer, thankful even for this day, even a day of rest where we can even lay aside even those thoughts and even the noise of the world and even gather around Thy holy word and where we could even listen even to Thy scriptures in this day and thankful for even the lessons we have learned. Even the commandments that Thou would even give us, even there in Deuteronomy, and even thankful that there in Matthew that we could even read, even when Jesus was tempted, how He would even say, even tell Satan to get behind us, and that it even written in Thy Word. And so even when this week starts, help us that even we run into challenges that we might even remember that Satan is even a liar from the beginning and that we can even tell him to get behind us. Help us to remember, too, that we must even repent if we hope to be saved. And help us never forget that we must even turn away from this world of sin and darkness. Thankful for even this church here in India. Would even pray for them that they might even grow in grace and love and that they could even be a light and beacon in this world. Pray for even those upon the pulpit that they might always speak the word in truth and even be a light and example too. So abide with us, go with us, even thanking Thee for food and drink we'll even partake of throughout this noon hour. And then again, would even pray that Thou would even be even amongst us, even throughout this noon hour, and then gather with us again. Would even thank Thee most of all for Thy Son Jesus' death there on the Calvary's cross. We know that is the only way to heaven, even through His shed blood, that sins could be forgiven. Even this season of the year, remember Thy birth, but help us remember it is the cross that sets us free. So abide with us, go with us, forgive us where we would even fail Thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Want to for sure share the love and the greetings of our church in Morton.
We likewise bring much love and greetings from Goodfield, Illinois.